Okay, we'll say we're praying, then we'll jump in this lesson on tonight. Not going to be too long, but you know how that go. Shouldn't be. Let's pray. Father Yah, we just bless you and we thank you for your presence. Right now we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight, and we thank you in advance for it. And we just bless you for who you are in our lives, and we appreciate you very much. And we just thank you for our Savior. In His name we do pray. Amen. All right. There's a subject matter that I'm going to that I'm going to deal with. Y'all just kind of started, you know, laying some things out to me on today, and he just kind of was just, you know, dealing with me about this this particular subject matter, and he had me to examine things from. From his perspective of how he see things, obviously, and then there were things that he had given me, given me to share from a perspective of how I see things based upon the calling that I have, what I've been, you know, born to do. And I've always looked at different leaders, and what I mean by just looked at different leaders, I've examined leaders, whether they were good ones or evil ones, and different things like that. And one thing I noticed. And y'all having me to accept Joshua. I don't have no time today. And so one of the things that I noticed is that in looking at this, and y'all having me looking at these leaders, there's one thing that they all have in common, whether they're, you know, considered good leaders or you know, evil leaders, bad, evil, good, however you want to put it, good or bad leaders. There's one thing that exists among all of them. And Yah was like, I put that same mentality in you. And that's the reason why your mindset works the way that it does. You know, because I'll be honest, I don't want to say concerns, but I always wondered why I have a certain mindset, and in this mindset that I have, it is just trying to think the best word to put it. The mentality that I have is I'm very firm on this mentality, and so. So I question Yah why he put it there, because I know it wasn't something that I developed certain reasons and things like that. It's something that Yah himself put in me, and he was saying, he said, every leader is like this. They have this mentality, and it doesn't matter if they... Again, as I mentioned, it doesn't matter if they're considered a good leader. You know, I use our past president. When you look at him, you get some people that say he was a good leader. But then, you know, when you look at the election, the majority of people say that he wasn't. And even people who did vote for him, they still had a certain mindset when they looked at him overall. And people have a difficult time understanding why why so many people catered to this man. There was like, what is it about this man that makes people, that people are drawn to him the way that the way that they are? What is going on with this man's mind? Because when you look at certain people who, whether they're family members or whatever, that know him from a personal perspective, they'll say, well, there are certain qualities that he doesn't have that would, there are certain qualities that he doesn't have. And they'll be like, okay, well, why would you want to follow somebody who's like this? They'd be like, you get some that say, okay, some people say, well, he's intelligent. Then some people say, well, he's not so sharp, Then some people say, he say stupid stuff. He do a lot of this. He do a lot of these things. But what is it that make people drawn to him as a leader, and what makes them, have the mindset or the willingness to, give me some drink. Who make him have the mindset or the willingness to stick with him no matter what, and so y'all was like, when you examine them, just a minute. He was like, so when you examine them, you'll see that you have that same mentality. Here, okay. You see that you have that same mentality. Now, what I want you to do is to use it for my glory. But at the same time, in examining it, it is what it is. Okay. So, the thing that every strong leader has is the ability to cause people to be loyal. And so y'all was like, he said, loyalty is a quality. Let me fix this here. That loyalty is what makes the leader ticks, so to speak. That the reason why people follow a person like Trump is not because that people like him, but there's a certain amount of loyalty that he demands as a leader, and that loyalty is what draws large numbers of people to cater to him for whatever reason or another. And when it comes down to it, he's ruthless when it comes to it. I mean, one of the things that is a high priority to him is loyalty. Now, in examining him, I also had to come to a transparency, for lack of a better way to put it, even as far as myself is concerned, and say that's a high priority as far as I'm concerned too.
I'm trying to think how to word this. I want to say, does it matter how that loyalty is derived, or that's immaterial?
You talking about as far as how it manifested?
Yeah, some leaders do that out of fear. Like, that people may be loyal because they're afraid of the consequences if they do something else.
But see, that's the thing about a leader. We don't care.
That's what I was saying. It doesn't matter.
In other words, when it comes down to your genuine leaders, they could care if you like them or not. They can care if you're afraid of them or not. All they want is that word. So the mindset is, and that's why, remember, because I want to keep in balance what I said. I said, y'all said to me, I'm going to give you this to discuss, but at the same time, you have to operate in my wisdom, because there are evil leaders as well as good ones. And an evil leader will cause people to be loyal to them as far as fear is concerned. But I'm just being just pure honest with you. I care less how it comes. But at the same time, because I honor Yah, I want to make sure that I'm doing it from the right perspective instead of the wicked perspective. You know, instead of the perspective that makes people want to make people do things, you know, all because, you know, I basically put the fear in them to do it. I'll do it. but that's not my priority. That's not something that is in my heart, my mind to do. But at the same time, when it really comes down to it, loyalty is what's vitally important. And I'll give you examples of that. It's going to come a day when loyalty is going to be required, whether it is by just sheer obedience or fear. Because that is how y'all did it. Y'all was like, look here, I'm going to lay these rules out. I'm just doing it my way, just paraphrasing my way, commandments. I'm going to lay these rules out, and if you obey them, we good. If you don't obey them, I'm going to cut you off. So no leader is better than Yah. Yah even operates according to that perspective. But it is his desire. It is his will not to rule like that. It is his will not to do that. Each one of us, if we be honest, it is not our will to spank the child. But if I need to put fear in my kids to get them to do right, I'll do it. Now my other baby, grandbaby, is talking. Quiet all the time. Now she talking to us, I guess. y'all see my point? Mm-hmm. So my thing is, when you look at the scripture says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he shouldn't depart from it. Mm-hmm. So my deal is, I train you with you know, as best I can and try to spare the rod, so to speak. But if I can't, if I got to take the rod and put a little fear in there, you know, I can't do this. So there were some things that I wouldn't do because I knew mama was going to deal with me if I did. So there was a reverence fear there. So I'm not talking about the type of, I'm talking about Yah's fear now. So there's a fear that leaders will put in a person, especially when they're operating in the righteousness of Yah, but it's a reverence part that'll say, oh man, I don't want to cross that line because if I do, I got to deal with pastor. You can't lead if you don't have that type of leadership. You have to be in the position where people are accountable enough and know there are consequences when they step outside the boundaries or the direction by which we're going. I have a cliche that I say all the time. Matter of fact, you know, I'm gonna say a person because if I say specific things, then y'all know who I'm talking about. But I had an individual say to me one time because you know you remember one time I just decided to, you know, we weren't gonna have church for a few days, a few weeks or whatever, and the church was concerned about, was asking me what's going on and things like that. I was like, yeah, well, y'all told me to do, you know, and that's what he told me to do. I'm loyal to him, so I'm doing what he's telling me to do. But one individual who didn't understand, not a part of his church, I'm just saying an individual, decided that they were going to use that as the opportunity to make me feel, I guess, beneath them in some fashion or another, spiritually. And so the individual made the statement. He was like, I will say he, that's all I give you. The individual was like, you know, the Bible says that when one sheep is lost, you know, that the in a nutshell, the shepherd go out and find that one sheep. You know, he was like, you know, you don't want to do anything to scatter the sheep, you know, because he didn't agree with what I had done, but he didn't know what Yah was doing with me. And I obey Yah, not man. You know, it's another thing as far as the leader is concerned. You got to be firm on what you know you're doing, and you got to stick to it. You know, even when Miriam and Aaron saying, we hear from Yah too. Okay, hear from him. But in this hearing, we're going this way. And so When he made the statement, I immediately responded with, yeah, I'm the same way. I said, but I don't chase after rebellious sheep, though. He didn't know how to handle that. Because most time preachers will chase after sheep. It don't matter what the sheep is doing. No, sometimes I let sheep go out there and get a leg broke and then learn a lesson. Then you want to come in here and be shepherd, then I be shepherd. But other than that, I'm a leader. And if there's no loyalty on either end, then I have no responsibility for that sheep. Go out there and get ate by the wolf. Or eaten by the wolf. Because I'm a different type of leader.
Well, go ahead. There's a difference between, I guess, a lost sheep and one that goes astray. Like, it's not the same thing.
And that's what I was letting them know. That's true. And so when you operate according, and Yah does the same thing. Every time we got out of the wheel, what do Yah do? He's like, I abandon you. We've been dealing with captivities. As far as our nation is concerned, that is Yah abandoning us as a people because we refuse to line up with his divine will. It's kingdom stuff I'm talking about. Okay, so. So you know, in response to that, that's what I said. And because this individual thinks leadership is pampering and patting people on the head and different things. Come on, baby, come on to church. Man, I care less if you come to church. I'ma lead you. And every sheep hear the voice and follow. And so when you look at that mentality as far as leadership, you have something?
I was just going to say, it's like what you said in other things. It's like it's a balance. You got to know the difference. Sometimes, you know, you may need that wood upside you. Sometimes you may need the encouragement, but it's a right. balance. It can't be all one way or the other.
Right, right. And when you have the majority of preachers are trying to collect members. I am not a member collector. I am a pastor who want to feed. And you got to be hungry. I don't believe in names on the road. People ask me, how many members you got? However many show up, I don't care. I don't keep up with the numbers. I care less how many folks at church.
Can I say something? I know there was a church that I was part of for quite some time, years. And I told me because it became too commercialized, they became too focused on membership versus the sincerity of living, and the church is doing that now.
Yeah, you know, the majority of the church, I said 99.9% of the churches are all about church growth, and church growth is connected to increased money.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they're not concerned about church growth, except that it lead to more money. They get more people in, it ain't equating to more money, then yes. They ain't caring about that.
Yes. I am the preacher who will start a series all over just because I want you to understand it. And so these things are vitally important. So Yah was like, okay, in dealing with this, I want you to examine some things as far as leaders are concerned. Look at the commonality that I put in those people. You remember, Yah raises up men and he brings them down. So every leader has been a leader that's been appointed by Yah, whether that's good or bad. Nebuchadnezzar was a leader, but he did some bad things and Yah punished him for it. David was a good leader. And Yah rewarded him for it. He did some things he shouldn't have done, and Yah punished him for it. Yah deal with his leaders, whether good for good reasons or bad reasons, he deal with his leaders. And so when you look at that, I was able to look at them and not look at the leadership based upon how I felt about the individual, but just understanding what leadership in its purest form truly is. And Yah was like, the most important part of leadership, or the most important part of being a leader, is you have to have loyalty. Yah said, I expect loyalty out of my people. That is the highest priority, or at least one of the highest priorities for me in dealing with people, loyalty. And so y'all had, that's what took me so long to come out. I wrote about it, and it's titled Loyalty. It says, did you have something? I thought you were going to say something.
Yeah, so I just had a comment even in thinking in that vein. So I based on that understanding, I think that's why we have run into so much problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the entities that we deal with want loyalty, but our loyalty is to Yah and not to them.
Right.
And so as a result, it's causing all this friction because everybody that they deal with, it's almost like if you want something from us, you got to be loyal to us.
Mm-hmm.
And our loyalty doesn't jive with that unless it's on the same page with what Yah is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it just has caused us friction all this time.
Right.
From the perspective of dealing with other entities.
That's why everything is off course. Everything is off course because even when you look at, I believe it's in the book of, I think it's Romans 13. Let me pull up another Bible just to make sure. Yeah, Romans 13 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of Yah. The powers that be are ordained of Yah. Companies don't understand that. Matter of fact, mankind doesn't understand that. If every authority, whether it's police officers, whether they're judges, whether they're attorneys, whether they're business people, every facet, preachers, you name it, across the board, every authority is under or is supposed to be under the power. In other words, their mindset is supposed to be governed by Yah. So when that mindset is governed by Yah, they lead the same way. Thus, when you look at everything that is manifested from the perspective of loyalty, it all goes up to Yah. So you have companies, as Elder just pointed out, you have companies who want you to be loyal to them, but because they are the powers that's not loyal to Yah, it causes friction. Man, you want me to do something that's not of God. So that's what Romans 13 is dealing with, and it starts showing how every system that's put in place is designed to be there in one fashion or another. Yah has given man the wisdom to put certain systems in place that was intended to glorify him and for all those systems to be subject unto the divine order of Yah. But man is off course. And so Yah is like, examine this. Examine yourself and sit down and really look at this and talk about it and give everybody an understanding of what he is needing out of all of us. So he had me to look at it. He's like, okay, look at what does that word mean to you? What does it truly mean to you? And so in the writing, I put loyalty. And I always try to define what I mean in the heading, so to speak. I said loyalty, a strong feeling of support or allegiance, is vitally important to me. And there are many forms of it. Thus, I view it from many perspectives. I view loyalty from many perspectives, not just one. You can look at certain things across the board. Okay, that's what I mean by many perspectives. I said, factually speaking, all we can do is our best at loyalty. Indeed, that's all I expect from you. Truthfully speaking, it can be measured. It can't be measured from the housetop because everybody can be loyal when the going is good. Thus, I don't measure it then. I don't measure loyalty based upon all the wonderful things. We all smiling and happy at one another. I wait till the rubber hits the road. That's what leaders do. I wait till the rubber hits the road. I wait till it's in the valley. Then I look. Because that's when it manifests truly. That's when it's genuine then. If I'm giving you cookies all the time, you're going to smile at me. But can you smile when we run out of cookies? So that's what I meant when I said that. Now, okay, it can't be measured from the housetop, so to speak, because anybody can display it when things are going well. Instead, it is genuinely manifested in the valley, the place where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, the place where things aren't easy or maybe even chaotic. That said, I can get beyond certain disloyalty because we all make mistakes. All of us make mistakes. I get past it. Can you get past mistakes? Because in order for loyalty to manifest to the highest degree or manifest at its best, each one of us has to be willing to understand that there's not one perfect but Yah. And so we all make mistakes. But when I make a mistake, can we get past it? When you make a mistake, can I get past it? That's when it's measured. That's when it's truly measured now. That said, I can get beyond certain disloyalty because we all make mistakes. But there are others that are very destructive. Okay? And when I encounter them, from that moment forward, that relationship will change forever. There are certain disloyalties that when it happened with me, it changed relationship forever. There are things that have happened, and if you think about it, there are things that have happened in your life from the perspective of certain people that changed the relationship forever. Now, in order for that to be done in righteousness, God, remember, Yah has to always be in focus. First of all, you have to develop patience in order to do it. Impatient people are not loyal people. I'm going to say that again. Impatient people are not loyal people. Because the minute it don't go your way, you're going to do something else. Again, but there are others that are very destructive, and when I encounter them, from that moment forward, the relationship will change forever. For instances, disloyalty that is motivated by vindictiveness is something that I loathe. I can't stand a person to try to get even with me. In other words, they'll be committed, and then something happened, and they'll be like, I'm going to get him back. I did it because you did that. Boy, you want to change the relationship with me forever? Come at me that way. Since he did this to me, I'm going to do this to him. I picked that. I can see that coming a mile away. And that is something that me as a leader will change my perspective on dealing with a person as far as leadership is concerned from that point forward. When I see that their motivation for doing what they're doing is to get back at me, man, to the curb in a minute. It's warm, turn around. Oh, my God. So that's one of them as far as I was concerned. Yeah, so okay, be transparent. Allow people to understand where you are as far as loyalty is concerned. I just cannot stand when a person's motivation for doing something is because they're trying to get back at me. I can't stand it. And because I can't stand it, I try to make my best effort not to do it. But again, we all, as I mentioned, can make mistakes. You got to be discerning and to understand when a person is making a mistake or if you see a pattern. If I see a pattern, that's what I'm talking about. If I see a pattern of vindictiveness, change my relationship forever. I'll be like, you know what? Every time that individual get to this certain stage, it's like you see the same vindictive mindset that take place every time this goes down. That's bad for me. I need to get away from that. The second one is repetitiveness of an issue that I thought was resolved. It'll throw it back up in your face every time you look around stuff. That'll change my relationship forever. I remember what you did to me last summer. Every summer, you bring it up. Okay, I did it. Man, okay, let's get past it. We talked about it. Let's get move on. You still looking ugly about that? Come on. There's a lady that come to mind. I'm not going to call her name out. Just a lady. You don't even know who I'm talking about, man. Anybody who know who I'm talking about. This woman, we started out, I love where I grew up from, man. I love growing up in Huntingrove. I'm just honest. We was talking about that today, man. I wouldn't trade growing up in Huntingrove for no place in the world, man. I just learned so much there and so many values and things, I'm just glad where I grew up from, Kind of wish my girls had a chance to experience it coming up, going down there staying for the summer and stuff like that. But there was a lady who came down there and got all the boys to sing. We were all singing and stuff, and we was traveling and singing. And now you think about this now, to get a bunch of hard-headed boys with the personalities we had to all come together around 20 or 30 of us to sing at church, you got something. Well, there was a mistake that was made, and it was a big one. When we started singing, the girls started, got up them a little choir too, It was like, man, them boys, they can't do no better than what we doing. But, we was fine with it, as the guys. But then the lady, she put us on the same program one night. I never forget it. And we got up and sung. Boys did first. And the girls got up and sung behind us. And she stood up and said these words. She said, boys, she said, the girls beat y'all tonight. And when she said that, we all looked at each other. Said, man, we don't need this. We ain't here to compete. We just trying to do something positive. But you got up, she got up there and made it a competition. So we all decided that particular night, that very night when she said it, we all sit there and just start going down the road. We was like, man, we gonna stick together until because she had promised us a trip and stuff like that. We like, we're gonna stick together on this trip. And after the trip, we done. And so we went to Six Flags on the trip, and then and stuff got crazy from that point on. Well, long story short, she ended up taking all of us to her house. And when she did, the guys looked up to me as like the leader, so they started coming to me, man, she got us all gonna stay here. And, she didn't tell our parents that we, she was gonna do that. She just got us, at our house and was like, well, no, I'm not taking y'all home till the morning. Well, we all tripping because we like, okay, we tired. We've been running around Six Flags all day. We hungry. We tired. We done spent all our money. We ready to go back home. I want to get in the shower and I want to, go to bed. My family was coming down the next day. It was on a Friday. My family was coming down the next day, so I wanted to be there with my family and stuff like that. And so she's like, no, I ain't taking y'all till tomorrow. So they start coming to me, and the way I am. When stuff ain't right and guys coming to me, I'm going to speak up. I'm the leader. So I went to her and I was like, hey, this is not right, and we don't want to do this. We didn't agree to this, and let me call my brother. I told us, let me call my brother. He come get me. I know all I had to do was make a phone call. So let me call my brother. He come get me. Well, Mitchell said, well, I'm going alone. A bunch of them started saying, well, I'm going alone. Now all y'all staying here. Okay, fine. So I ain't going to tell everything that took place, because there was some drama. Drama. We were hungry. We didn't drink no water. We didn't eat from that point on. We talking about 20, 30 boys. Around about from 4 o'clock that evening on until the next morning. We didn't eat, didn't drink nothing. And we laying around in this house, and this house was filthy. I'm like, I don't live like this, man. Let me get my folks. I don't want to stay in the house. House smell and everything. I don't want no part of this. I ain't used to living like this. You know? So from that point on to this very day, what that was about, man, 40-some years ago, to this very day, every time this woman see me, she bring up that story. And I've had talks with her about it. Even got all, she painted a picture of how everything went. I got all the guys together one day and we all circled and just told her everything. And said, this is why we did it. We just explained everything to her. To this very day, when she see me, she said I was the cause of them not having that boys, of her not having that boys choir. Repetitiveness. And for 40 years, that has changed the relationship. And people tell you I have tried to reach out to her, been nice. She came to church one time, I let her sing, just different things. She stood up there and grabbed a microphone, she sang and told that story. Am I lying, y'all? I said, this him, this here ain't going to change. This is going to be repetitive. And since it's going to be repetitive, I need to disconnect from it. And that's what I've done. I don't respond to her. Don't look at her. Don't say nothing to her. Walk right past her like she don't exist now. Because that loyalty now was broken all because of something she didn't want to take and accept that she was the cause of the reason why those boys or we as those boys stopped singing in that choir.
The original MLK.
The original. And she called somebody else. She's so jacked up about it, she called them some other group of kids the original King's kids. And I'm like, well, how are they the original? We older than them. Well, we call the King's kids too. How did they original? And we older. I thought we were the original. You know, but that's where it is. And I promise you, if you see her, mention my name and watch her tell that story. You know, so from that perspective, again, repetitiveness of an issue that I thought would resolve. And, you know, and that's something that is a form of disloyalty that I just can't deal with. It's like I'd be like, man, come on, let's get past stuff. I'm the type of person that I have a discussion about things, and once we discuss it and I feel like we're on the same page, I want to move on. I say what's on my mind, and when I say it, it doesn't mean that I got issues with you. We just discuss the issue, and let's move on. Shoot, man, probably more than me and Tony probably have fallouts more than anybody, that's listening to me right now. But we talk about it. I say what I got to say. She say what she got to say, and we'll move on. Move on. And she still running around here, still talking, yeah, but Jake, I'll be like, look, I ain't get to my own sister. Look, I ain't got time to be dealing with you. And I do have some family members that I don't deal with because of that. It's repetitive stuff. You know, so these things are really important here. And then, I want to read a scripture, and always, you know, because I always like to put scripture with this here. And in this loyalty, y'all say, examine yourself and have them to examine themselves from this verse here. It's found in Proverbs 18, verse 24, and then we'll go ahead and close. We're going to close on time if y'all have nothing else to say. Verse 24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. There's a colon there, which means that what's after the colon gives us an understanding of what's being said before the colon. It's saying there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And so here's what y'all gave me to say in other words. In other words, the reason why people have many friends is because they value them as in their friends more than they do themselves personally. If you are a person that always put yourself first, I guarantee you don't have no friends. Because people will pick that up and they'll stay as far away from you as they can. In other words, the reason why people have many friends is because they value them more than they do themselves. And the best friends, the best friends are always your ally, even more than your family. I have friends that are allies that will stick with me more than my own family members. Now I got family members that'll stick with me like that too, that I classify as friends. But I'm saying I have friends who I know that will be more loyal to me than family members that I have. And if all you be honest, you know just the same thing. There are friends that I go to before I will my own family.
That's the boy.
Yes.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, but what if you don't have that many friends though? You're I don't want to say selective,
but I guess it would be
I keep my loyal friends closer to me.
So that makes them
There's not that many.
Yeah, I understand. Did you say that many?
I don't have that many. I'll
probably
have a few
that I consider
loyal.
A few as in many, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason why you have...
No,
you got to hear me because I hear you. I hear you.
Okay.
I hear you. Now you got to hear me. If you don't have friends, it's because you're not friendly. You say I have a few friends. That's many. There's no specific number on many.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
So what I'm saying in a nutshell, it says when you look at verse 24, and that's why I could see where you were going because I understand. Okay, I'm gonna get ahead of myself, Janice. You made me get ahead of myself. I said, here's the words for the... No, don't be sorry. It's right on time. Here are the words for the day. The words for the day, I said, if I spend time with you, then it's because you are a loyal friend. I don't spend time with many people, but I got many friends. Did y'all hear what I just said? I don't spend time with many people, but the ones I spend time with is many. Now, many people could be way more than the many that I call my friends, but I got a lot of friends that I spend time with because they're loyal. But then I don't, as Janice was trying to say, I don't give my loyalty to everybody. And I don't consider everybody my friend. Just because I know your name don't mean you're my friend. Just because I sit down and talk don't mean you're my friend. And so when you look at it from the perspective of many, it is basically saying in a nutshell, if you have acquaintances, if you have folks that you spend some type of amount of time with you, then those are friends. What I'm talking about here is from the perspective of an individual who when it really comes down to it, let me back and say this. Does anybody have a good thing to say about you beside you? See, I said this one time I was preaching. I was like, it's hard to be important when you by yourself. You can think you're important, but it's hard to be important when you by yourself. And so when you talk about many, everybody start thinking about 20, 30, 40 people. Many can be three. It depends on your perspective. I don't want a whole bunch of people in my inner circle. I know a whole lot of people, but there are very few people that I call friends. I think we don't truly know what that means. And so when it's saying from a perspective, a man that has friends, let's just look at the word friends. Companion, brother, husband, neighbor, associate. So I know a whole lot of people, but there are very few people that I call my associate. There are very few people that will call me and I answer. Not anybody call me, I answer. There are friends that will call me, and every time they call, I answer if I see it. But then there are some people that I know when they call, I'll be like, oh, they don't let that voicemail catch them. I know them. Even family members. My brother talking about. I call him every time he called me, just his phone be doing some weird stuff. He can call me, I turn around and call him back. It'll go to voicemail, and voicemail sound like he in Australia somewhere. He been had the answer machine so long. I'll be like, I give up. I ain't calling back. He ain't gonna answer. So those perspectives, and that's what I was talking about, Janice, in a nutshell. So when I say that, don't start now counting your friends. Like, I don't have many friends. Yeah, you do. Got many friends. I got many friends, but I don't know if I can put them all on my fingers and toes. I don't know if I have that many people that I can say that there's a loyalty like that. So just like you, Janice, I'm very selective.
Okay. Thank you
for
clearing that up for me.
Yeah. Because you'd be like, don't nobody hang around with me. And then says, don't nobody hang around with me. I must not be. But no. Mm-mm. These one of these messages where you got to honestly judge yourself. Do everybody hate to see you coming? Somebody ought to be glad to see you coming. If everybody hates to see you coming, then it's because there's something going on. So, again, as we look at verse 24, and I'll get ready to close if there's nothing else. It says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. And y'all gave me, in other words, the reason why people have many friends is because they value them more than they do themselves. My perspective is I always try my best effort to look out for somebody else. That's just my perspective. And even if there are things I can't do, you'll know that it's my intent. It's something I want to do. That goes back up to nobody's perfect. Everybody make mistakes. I can genuinely say there's never an intent when something is not going the way that it should. Not what I intended. And my perspective of that hurt or whatever somebody's going through is that I would rather that had been me than you. Because that's how I look at things. And if you don't believe that, it's because you're not my friend. That's why. Because my friends know that I am. So as I get ready to close, words for the day. There's an incoming call here. I did something. She been Googling because I know what I did. So the words for the day, again, as I said, if I spend time with you, then it's because you are a loyal friend. And okay.
So
that's the word for the day, and I'll send it to you, Sonya, if you missed anything.
Thank you.
And so that's the I'll end on that note, the word for the day. If I spend time with you, then it's because you are a loyal friend. And that's from any perspective, whether it's phone conversation or whether that's, you know, just spending time, you know, together or whatever. I consider you as a friend. And it's vitally important for all my friends, because that's what my goal is to do. It's vitally important for each of you to be loyal, because that's my goal. My goal is to be loyal to you. Also, as a leader, I expect what I put my hands to, the ones that I'm leading to put my hands to. I have no tolerance as far as that is concerned. If I'm going in a certain direction and people that are following me are not going in that direction, I struggle dealing with people like that. Because my perspective is I refuse to call anybody my leader and I'm not willing to follow. Even as far as there's some things I've been trying to do as far as, you know, traveling to Atlanta every year, but y'all be like, no, go, you gotta go. Be like, well, y'all, I don't want to follow this. Man, I don't want to be a part of this. He be like, no, I'm doing something, so you gotta go. And, I would prefer from a perspective of leadership, and I think every leader is the same way. I would prefer you not follow than to follow and not be loyal. Just, I mean, quit tormenting yourself, because it ain't tormenting me. Well, I'm wired different. Stuff don't bother me. And that's what people don't get about it. As I mentioned Trump earlier, it genuinely don't bother him. He wired like that. And so he'd be like, okay, what? You stormed the Capitol. You want me to help you? He's just not wired like that. And so I can relate to that to certain perspectives. That's why. You know, I made a statement one time. I remember when they was talking about, they had mentioned as far as when that first happened in New Orleans. And I wrote about it Hurricane Katrina hit and the levees broke and all that. I wrote about it. And what I said was this. I spoke kind of like in a third person. And some people were asking me, it's like, man, you would do something like that? I was like, yeah, I would. And what I said was this. I said, if I was a leader, I'd break the levees in New Orleans. I was telling people what was really going on. I said, if I was a leader, I'd break the levees in New Orleans because I wanted it to flood that area where all the black people were. Then I'd give them money and let them move because they didn't realize it was oil under their black feet. So I give them money to leave, and the value is in the land. And I pump the oil out of the land, and I pause in the sea so they couldn't get the shrimp because the oil is more important to me than the shrimp. So I pause in the oceans, and I pause in all the marshes and like that with the oil. You remember the oil spills? I make it uncomfortable for everybody to leave that want to leave, you know, make them want to leave because I had other plans as far as that land is concerned. I'm ruthless like that. If I was a leader and wanted to do something concerning New Orleans. Not everybody can lead. A leader making decisions what's best for the entire thing. They ain't looking at just Pookie.
So basically it's like they wanted the land in New Orleans, so they caused that to happen.
Go look and see.
So that people can...
Brunlow told you, he said he heard bombs. Did you say you heard bombs going out, Brunlow? Ain't no water broke them levees. It was bombs. Then, hey, you know what a real levee looks like? Go drive downtown Dallas. You can drive a car on a levee. Levee ain't no sheets of what was that, concrete or steel they had in that water. And that water just pushed them. No, a levee is a road. You can drive on it. Think I'm kidding? Just go to the Trinity, and when you see that hill in the middle of that river, and cars, you see cars look like two-lane cars, that's a levee. That's a true levee. Levee is land. And so they exploded that because they wanted to run those people out of that area. Now who living there? They don't put nice buildings and apartments and houses, all that down in there. That's what I would have done as a leader. I can't get them out. That's what they're doing over in South Dallas. At the expense of the overall goal. That's the mindset of a leader. I'm always big picture. You know, so I just wanted to give y'all a little better, you know, understanding of me and why I why my mind works the way that it does, and to understand that, you know, that even if things kind of get weird or something like that, it's not my intent. it's never my intent because it's not my goal to disappoint. That's just not in my nature. I'm a shepherd. I believe in putting the sheep first. But at the same time, I'm also a leader, and I know how to lead. And I know there's a certain standard that has to be in place in order for us to get to where Yah is taking us. Okay. Any questions, comments? We're good. All right, I'm done. I'll stop here. Father, y'all, we just bless you. We just thank you for revealing certain facets as far as leadership is concerned, and even loyalty. And we just ask you to just continue to give us the wisdom on what you need and what's necessary for us to be loyal to you, because that's the priority. And y'all, we just bless you for... just a word on today, and we just take it all face value, and we get out of it what is necessary to make all of us better. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen. Amen.